This morning we are going to be in Daniel chapter 1. This is a part of Daniel that sometimes is jumped past, but as I've studied the last couple weeks and looked over this passage, I think sometimes as Christians today we jump past this as well. Unfortunately, I think that's what happens, and it begins to show in our lives, in my life. And so this morning as we go through this, just a little bit of background. The Babylonians had, King Nebuchadnezzar had came and they had taken captive three different times. They came to Jerusalem and they took people out, three different sieges, and they would take people out, transport people. This was basically right after the first one, or talking about some of the things that happened in the first one. And Dan, what we know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they were three guys, and it's going to tell us just a little bit about them, but I want us to understand that they had been taken from their normal life that they grew up in. And as they did that, they were cast into a situation that had nothing to do with their God. This situation that they were in when Nebuchadnezzar took them, he's going to try to put them into a spot to denounce their God or to make their God not be a part of their life. And so that's what this is leading up to here. So let's read. I'm going to start in verse 3 of chapter 1 so you can read along with me. It says, "Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language of literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, 'I fear my lord the king, who has appointed you food and drink, for why should he see your faces look worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king.' So Daniel said to the steward of the chief of the eunuchs, the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants.' So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away the portions of the delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables." Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, Lord, we know it's something that's happened in history. We know you've kept it here for a reason, and today I pray that you would reveal to us the reason for this portion of the scripture. Lord, that we would be able to apply it to our lives, that we might glorify and honor you. Lord, if you don't help us, we'll never understand. So I pray that happens today, that we might honor you with all that we do here today. In your name we pray, amen. Like I said, Daniel, we know very little about him other than what this says, and then we know from this point on. But one thing that as I was studying over the past couple weeks and looking into this, scholars and theologians, and I had never I did not know this until this past week, that scholars and theologians believe that Daniel was in the family of King Zedekiah of Judah. It says that members of the royal family, that they were supposed to bring, and that they were supposed to find these descendants of the king, which would have been Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, who was a terrible king, and some of the men, and then it goes on to describe what these men that were from the royal family needed to be like. No blemish, good looking, already had an education, possessing knowledge so that they could teach them the Akkadian language, which was the language in Mesopotamia, so that they would be able to understand and know education, but also be able to learn and serve the king. But they were going to have to go through training for 3 years to do that. But Daniel came from that royal family or that royal connection of Zedekiah, who was a terrible king, who really, when you study him, and we've been studying him on Wednesday nights, he had no real faith of his own. But here his descendants, the descendants of the royal family, these men that were of that descent, they have their own faith. And so we need to understand today that no matter where you come from, your faith is yours. You can't blame it on somebody else. You can't say, well, I was never... No. It was because of... No. It's up to you. It's up to me what our faith brings us to. Well, this morning as we go into this passage, Daniel is going to do several things, and we know we're familiar with the lion's den, and we're familiar with maybe the visions and the dreams that he interprets, and the things that God goes on to tell him and use him in so many ways to bless him, to where he even says in the last of Daniel, he says, "You go ahead and rest, and there's going to come a day when you're going to get your inheritance." And so his life was what it was supposed to be. And that starts, we start hearing about it here. Now, obviously, when he was back in Judah before they were taken captive, he had a faith of his own, and his heart had changed. We know he prays continually. We know all of the things. But something happens. Even though he had that faith that was strong enough, that was a personal faith, he still had some things he had to deal with. And you and I have things every day that we have to deal with. It's bad enough that he had been taken captive. He had been brought out of his homeland and taken to Babylon and put in this situation. But it sounds like things are going to be okay. Well, here, we're going to bring you in, and we're going to give you all the food right off the king's table. You're going to have plenty of food to eat. Everybody back in Jerusalem, they were going through a famine. They were going to go through famine and pestilence and the sword, and it was going to be terrible. Here they're brought out and they're brought to Babylon, and we're going to feed you food off of the king's table. Same food that the king eats, you're going to get to eat. The same wine that the king drinks, we're going to offer that to you. And so you would think that things were set up pretty good for them for being taken from their homeland. But Daniel does something. And he says, it purposed in his heart, in verse 80, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now what it's talking about, to defile himself is to make himself unclean, to take in something that he was not supposed to take in. Well, what would be wrong with the king's food? Well, when they would offer food to the king, they would bring food to the king, they would have first sacrificed it to an idol. So all of the food that the king would have on his table, as luxurious as it might seem, it had been offered to an idol, to a god of Babylon. And then they would take it. Of course, the god of Babylon wasn't real, so the food was still there. And so they'd take it and give it to the king and to others. And so that food that had been offered to them had actually been offered to an idol. And so for Daniel to take that food and to eat that food, he would have been acknowledging that God. And he would not do that because the Old Testament law forbid them to do that. And so he sets up to say, I don't want to take this evil thing into my life. And that's where we come to today with us. There are so many things that we allow in our lives to defile us. Now, we may not think that's there. We may not think the things in our life are evil. No more than if I sat back and I look at this food and I say, well, surely Daniel knows that there's no other God. And so he could just say, well, God, I know that they may have sacrificed this and they may have offered it to a rock or to a piece of wood or to a stone or something. But I know you're the only God, so that I'm going to go ahead and eat this, knowing in my heart that they were just silly offering it to this idol. But he could not do that because other people would see him eating that food. Now, he might know that that God was not real, that that rock or that wood or that sculpture or whatever was not a God. And he might think in his, and he might know in his heart that that's not real. But what about those other people that are watching him? They take the food that they knew was offered to a God, and they see Daniel eating that food that was offered to a God. And so in their mind, they may not talk to Daniel, and so they assume that Daniel has accepted the fact that that is a God. It was offered to him, and he takes it. How many times do people look at our lives? And because you and I stand up and we say, I know the world is doing this, and I can't do anything about it, so I'm just going to go along with it, knowing in my heart that everything's okay between me and God. But there are people watching you do those things, and they are assuming, well, Steve's okay with it, so it must be okay. Debbie's okay with it, so it must be okay. John Michael's okay with it, so it must be okay. People watch what we take into our lives. And in our mind, we might be okay, but it may cause someone else to stumble. Daniel purposed in his heart, he made a decision that he would not defile himself. Something that would defile him, that would make him unclean in his relationship with God. Would he allow evil? And let's keep breaking it down. Would he allow sin into his life? Well, surely it's not all bad because it's good food and it would be healthy for me, as he could have said. It's something that he could have went ahead and took into his life and said, well, even though it's got a bad outlook, it's got positive too. And so you want to balance it out. Well, there's things in my life that if I do this, I might reach that person. If I go along with this, maybe that person will come closer to me and I can draw them to God. That doesn't work very often. We have to understand what Daniel did here when he said he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He did not purpose in his mind that he wouldn't defile himself. He didn't make a decision in his mind. He didn't weigh it out in his mind and say, well, what should I do? What should I do? He purposed in his heart. Because Daniel's heart had already been given to God. And the decisions he made were not based on logic, our mind, our thinking. It was based on our heart, which was given to God. That's what he did. So he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. You and I have to do that. We have to purpose in our heart. If we've given our heart to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have to purpose in our heart. We have to understand, and what that means is that God is in charge of my life. I have surrendered my life to Him as the Lord and Savior of my life. I have given Him my heart, my love, my all. And if that's the case, then everything is given to Him. I do for Him, I do with Him, Everything is about Him. If I do it with my mind, then I have a tendency to weigh it out. And sometimes those decisions don't work. We have to purpose in our heart to live apart from sin. Well, we live in a world, Pastor, where sin is all around us. But how are we supposed to live without that sin affecting our lives? We purpose in our heart for all that we do to do for Him. Whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. It doesn't say do part of what you do to the glory of God. It says whatsoever you do. That means everything. Well, Pastor, that's unreasonable for everything I do to glorify and honor God. No, it's not, or He wouldn't have put it in the book. But you and I, because of the way we want to rationalize things and make decisions with our mind and look for logic and look for problem solving instead of through faith, we have to purpose in our heart to give to God everything. Because if we give Him 99%, who has control of that other 1%? It's not me. There's only two powers out there. One is God and the other is Satan. We think that we've got that power. We're not that strong. And so if God has 99%, if I've given Him 99% of my life, of my heart, of my all, then that other 1% I've given to Satan. We don't like to think about that. But if what I'm doing is 1% selfish, then that is against God, that 1%. We have to purpose in our heart to live unclean. We've got to be clean, excuse me. We've got to purpose to live clean, because to be defiled is unclean, and we have to make sure that we have given everything to Him. And I know we say we're human, we make mistakes, we live in this world, all of those things. I've made those same excuses. And I am not here yet. And I will not be here till the day I stand before Jesus Christ. But my heart's desire is that I would be. And my prayer for you is that your heart's desire would be that you purpose in your heart to never let anything into your life that would defile you. You'll set no evil thing before your eyes, the Bible tells us. We have to make that decision, but not with our mind, with our heart. Where does your heart lie? Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also. Daniel chose not to defile himself. And man, if I could ever get to that stage, Pastor, then everything would be really good. And I'm struggling and I'm trying, but when I get rid of that sin in my life, it seems like before I know it, it's right back in there. Or maybe I've got rid of this one and the next thing I know, something else jumps back in there and it's just as bad. What do I do? Let's see what Daniel does. Daniel said he didn't want the king's delicacies and the king's wine because they had both been offered to the idols. He didn't want to defile himself. And so what does he do? He says, give us vegetables. Sounds kind of silly, right? Man, when I was growing up, and you can ask my wife, I still am not a vegetable fan, okay? But it wasn't about the vegetables so much as it was about, instead of taking in the evil that would defile him, he had an alternative that was what God wanted, that was God's desire. And it wasn't just vegetables, it would be grain or anything grown with a seed. But instead of taking in the negative, he came up with an alternative. He didn't just say, I don't want to defile myself and starve to death. What's your options? You either eat this or you starve to death. No, he came up with an option, with an alternative. And you and I don't do that. Pastor, we're trying to get this sin out of my life. I'm trying to get the sin out of my life too. But what happens is when I turn away from that sin, and the Bible tells us that when it talks in another story in the New Testament that when a demon is cleaned out of a place, if nothing is put back in, it goes away and it comes back with, and it's seven times worse. Because nothing was put back in there. There were no vegetables put in there. When you and I strive to keep from defiling ourselves, and we know that stuff that if we let it in there, it's going to defile us. Whatever that sin, whatever that evil is that's going to defile us, when we do our best to keep it out, the best way to keep it out is put the vegetables in there. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." If you put that in there, then there's no room for the defilement. That's where we've got to do it. We've got to make sure that we're putting God's word in. When evil wants to come in, we flush it out with the word of God. There's a deal we used to do in youth years ago where I'd get a dirty bowl of water, and then we would put clean water in, and we'd just keep bringing clean water in until it had flushed out all the dirty water. And that's what we're supposed to do inside. Daniel refused to defile himself, but he also had an alternative to bring in something that God was okay with. The law was okay with him having those vegetables and those grains. And so he said, "I don't want that defilement in my life, but I know I can't go hungry. Something has to be in there, and I want what's in there to be good." And so that's what he does. And you and I are the same way. We have to fill our lives with God's word. Try to say this without upsetting anybody. That doesn't work just on Sunday morning. That doesn't work on Sunday morning and Sunday night, or Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We have to take it in every single day. We need to take God's word in every single day. And it has to be the word of God. A lot of times I will read books from Christian authors, and I will listen to podcasts, and those are good things. But they are no substitution for the Word of God. That's where we've got to make sure that we are taking in the Word of God daily. Because I guarantee you that Satan is going to try to get you to take in something that's going to defile you more than once a week, more than twice a week, more than three times a week. He's going to hammer you every day. And the only way you're going to fight that is to put in the vegetables constantly. But I'm so busy. Where do you think that busyness comes from? We've got to fill that space, or the defilement will get in. So Daniel didn't want to be defiled. He had an alternative. But then he says in 13, "Let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portions of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, deal with your servants." Daniel knew what he was doing was right. He knew it wasn't the popular thing. I think that, as far as we know, there were only going to be four people that were going to go along with Daniel. I'm sure there were more than four people there that had this offer. But Daniel knew what he was doing was right. He knew keeping the defilement out and putting something good in would have the right appearance on his life. People would notice. You can compare me to those other people. Those other people that are eating the delicacies, you compare me to them. Are you willing to say that? Are you, and it doesn't matter, we're not compared to anybody here, but in our mind, are you content enough to know that you're bringing in enough that if somebody was going to compare you to the world, that they would see a difference in your appearance? Daniel knew that he was going to take in enough vegetables. He was going to keep the defilement out, and that was going to be enough to show that his appearance was different from those other people that weren't doing what was right. Is there an appearance that's different in our lives? Well, I know in my mind I'm different, but does the world see a difference? Do they see my life? Do they see your life and say, that guy's eating something different? That guy's taking in something different because he's not like his reactions, his talk, his choices are not like other people. They're not like the world. Can people tell that in your life? Yes, you know you're different. You know you're struggling, you're trying, and we're all going to make mistakes because we are not perfect. But Daniel was willing to say, I'm committed enough to this that in 10 days, you'll see a difference in my appearance. Go home and mark your calendar. You take in God's Word 3 to 4 times a day for 10 days, and you see what appearance is different. You won't have to say anything. Daniel didn't have to say, hey, look at my face. Look at the weight I've put on. Look at the spring in my step. He didn't have to say that. After 10 days, that eunuch's like, whoa, something's different. There's something different about you. People will notice. Just 10 days of taking in vegetables instead of this other stuff made it a different appearance. I would venture to say that less than 10 days, if we took in God's Word constantly on a daily basis, it wouldn't take 10 days. But you and I need to be seen differently. Not for our praise, but for God's praise, for God's glory. People need to see a difference. It goes on to say, at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the delicacies. And in 16 it says, thus the steward took away the portions of the delicacies and the wine that were to drink, and gave them vegetables. Who's the them? Who did he give vegetables to? Well, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had already been, they'd already had it taken away. They had already looked better. They had already been given vegetables. So what had took place is this eunuch saw such a difference in Daniel and his friends that he wanted other people to have that same appearance. He knew what they were taking in made a difference. He was the one at the end of 10 days that was able to judge. That was his responsibility, was to stand back and just judge them. Hey, do with your servants as you wish after 10 days, Daniel said. You come in and you judge us, and if what we're doing is not working, then you judge us. Daniel knew at the end of 10 days he was going to be judged for what came into his life and how it changed his life. You and I need to understand, very bluntly, that if what comes into us defiles us, at the end of 10 days, maybe longer, maybe shorter, when we stand before the judge, he's going to see if what we've took in has defiled us or brought us closer to God. He's going to see if we put in what was right, what was good, what would glorify God. He would judge at the end of 10 days. He wasn't judging appearance. He was judging the overall person because of what took place. You and I need to understand this very clearly, that one day we will stand before a judge. And if we're okay with taking in what defiles us, what makes us unclean, what is evil in the sight of God, we will be judged for that. Well, Pastor, I'm a Christian, and so I know I'm not going to stand before God's judgment. Yes, you are. The Bible says Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged accountable for what we have done with what God has given us. Steve, I've given you vegetables. The world has offered you defilement. You chose defilement. For that, I'll be held accountable. For the good things I've done and for the evil things I've done. And you will too. Here, it was 10 days. Daniel and his friends, the eunuch, all knew that the judgment was coming in 10 days. You and I do not know when that judgment is coming. We know it's coming after we take our last breath here, if we're Christians. If we're not, then it will take judgment at the end of the millennium, when you stand before the great white throne judgment. So for us as Christians, I'm going to close real quickly, basic statements. The change has to come from our heart, not our mind. Something has to go in. What's it going to be? Are you going to take in that stuff that defiles you? Well, it's so convenient with the world. It's so easy to take in. There's so much of it. The pressure is there. If I don't take it in, they're going to look down on me. Something's going in, and you need to decide, and you need to decide with your heart what it's going to be. Your talk, your choices, your reactions will be seen by others. You have an opportunity to be a witness and a testimony that might draw someone to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that might bring them to a decision to where they spend eternity with God, because of what they saw in your life, because of your appearance. Christian, that's your responsibility. And understand that the change that's in you is going to affect others. You do what's right and leave it to the judge. And if there are people out there watching on YouTube or maybe here today that you've never come to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, like Daniel, you've got to choose to be unclean. Not to be unclean. You've got to choose to have Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, purify your heart. The only way you can do that is have forgiveness of your sins. You've got to choose to allow Him to come into your heart. Choose to let Him change your life. Well, I don't want to surrender my life to Him. I'm enjoying life the way it is. James tells us life is but a vapor which appears for a little bit and then vanishes away. You know, I got 75 years here. I've got 80 years here. I've got 100 years here. I've got 110 years here. I've got eternity there. Make that choice. Because one day you need to be ready to stand before the judge. And the only way to do that is by accepting Jesus Christ for His plan of salvation, the fact that He died on the cross for you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to come back for you. Wherever you're at, believer or unbeliever, follow the steps of Daniel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do. Lord, I pray that you would change our heart. I pray that we would see clearly today the choices that are before us. I thank you and I praise you for the opportunity in your precious, precious name I pray. Amen.